Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to talk about the big news of the day, which was Justin Tucker's new four-year contract. He'll be under contract now through the 2027 season. And here to talk about it with me is Alec Poulianos. Alec, how you doing?
Doing well, Ken. 2027 is a wild year. I think it's the first time I've ever thought about it. It was today, hearing this news.
Yeah. I've made some jokes about the 2029 season, I think, already. But the 2027 season in terms of Justin Tucker being here, and he will be what age in 2027? At the end of 2027, I guess, is when we want to look at. He will be 38 years old when that season ends. So this he mentioned today at the podium that this pretty much takes him to the end of his career. I'm not sure that's true. I'm not sure Justin Tucker doesn't kick till he's 45, but this certainly takes him through another very significant span of his career with the Ravens.
Yeah, it looks like the Ravens are committed to making him a lifer, that he will play every game with the Ravens. I think as long as he has something to kick, he will be a Raven, and I think he'll have a very similar exit as Cook, potentially. Maybe a little bit more on his terms, but at the end of the day, there will become a point where I guess they're ready to move on from Tucker and they finally find that next kicking prospect, but maybe not. Maybe they don't ever draft somebody and it's just that Tucker decides that's it. Maybe the Ravens win another Super Bowl and he decides I'm going to go out like that. And then the Ravens will be in a position to have to figure it out. But yeah, until 2027, this is locked down. I anticipate another extension before. He'll never be a lame duck, right? Like they made sure of that as well. So, yeah, very exciting for him and his family.
He probably is a player you could franchise and do very well. He wouldn't be happy with it because he should be the highest play kicker in the game, and he gets the average of the top five, I think.
Exactly.
He'd be a guy that you could keep around there. There's a lot of statistics I want to get into, and I want to do that in a second, but this is an important transitional year for Justin Tucker. He is losing his Hall of Fame holder in Cook, and they brought him back to be a coach, and a little bit of that is as a punter for Stout, but I do get the impression most of that is as a holder for Stout.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, obviously he can learn on both sides of the game, but I just think that the Ravens put so much more emphasis on special teams than really any other team, and I think that just comes from Harbaugh and his pedigree as a special teams coach. And you don't see that often. Almost every offensive coordinator becomes a head coach. Some defensive coordinators, but it's skewed towards the offense. And special teams, it's still unique.
Yeah, Randy Brown, a guy who does not get a lot of credit for the Ravens' kicking game. And honestly, I don't know what his impact was on Cook as a punter, but his impact on the Ravens' kicking game has been enormous. And if you go back to Tucker's rookie season, one of the great front and center moments for Randy Brown was running out between overtime periods and letting Tucker take a practice kick before that second overtime began, and then he had to make the real kick. And the Broncos were all like, what the hell are you doing? And the officials made him get off the field, but they basically said, no, there's nothing to say they can't do that. There's nothing to say they can, but there's nothing to say they can't. And it was great to see, Brown out there. And from the beginning, he's been with Tucker. They'll be always associated. I don't think Randy Brown is going anywhere as a coach. I think he's a lifer with the Ravens as well.
For sure. And, yeah, this is just a really exciting time. Just even from a franchise perspective and, I don't know, the community is the right word for it. But Justin Tucker is probably one of the most loved players on this team. And yeah. Anything they can do to, recommit themselves to him and for the fan base is important as well.
I think it's a contract that probably will turn out to be a bargain. Certainly will if he kicks the way he has to date in his career, it certainly will. But I think it's likely to end up being a bargain. I think kickers tend to be a little bit undervalued in terms of particularly the great ones, how much of a difference they make versus the field. In terms of what you can do, Tucker certainly has won a few ball games for the Ravens over the years, to say the least. And I think that the Ravens will not regret at all paying him this money. Certainly, if he kicks the way he has.
Yep, for sure. So it's $17.5 million guaranteed, $24 million over the 4 years, and an 11.5 sign-on bonus.
All right, so that 11.5 will be prorated over the period.
Correct.
And that's interesting. I'd have to see the way the annual salaries work out, but if someone like McFarland would probably know right away what he would expect in terms of cap hits by year. But I'm not sure if that adjusts any way what he's going to make in either. It probably does in terms of 22 and 23. So I would imagine it probably does. And may actually create a tiny amount of cap room for the Ravens. Probably not a lot, but maybe a little bit of cap room for the Ravens, because it could be a pro the 11.5 could be prorated over 5 years, which would be that would be some savings.
Correct. Yeah, it seems like Brian says that there's a little bit more data that needs to be drawn to know what the cap impacts will be for this year. But definitely, you know, I always like looking at how salaries are constructed these days and how the contracts are written, because the more that you put into these bonuses and numbers that you can move around, right? So if you want to put it on the credit card for later on, the cap, you know, is increasing or whatever, you can do that. So I feel like this contract, the way it's written, with $17.5 million of it guaranteed, there's still a little bit of wiggle room for how they can move the money around, particularly with the $11.5 million in sign-on bonus.
It's an interesting thing, and this is since cap is a big consideration of this Tucker contract, one of the things to look at is there's a troubling article in the Wall Street Journal today about a reduction in advertising revenue, a very sharp reduction in advertising revenue, and in particular associated with TV. And this could hit things like podcasting and whatnot. Not that it's a big deal in terms of you know, podcasting earnings are a big deal to either of us, but it's something we would be. Might be even impacted directly on this is that there's just not as much advertising being done in a down business cycle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's the NFL's cap could be affected at some point. Now, they have network deals. They seem to be fairly much recession proof and COVID proof in terms of what they could do, but they weren't completely. They lost revenue during COVID. Most of that was due to not being able to have fans in the seats. It wasn't necessarily due not to have deals with the network. But since the end of the pandemic, like right. We're not still facing this forever, there have been additional streaming deals made. So those may have been deferred while the NFL was in that position. Point being that we may not have the escalation of the cap we expect if ad revenues go down dramatically. And that might mean that Tucker is eating a larger than expected portion of the cap in some future year.
Correct. But again, though, with the way they structured it, they could play the game of, well, it wasn't this year. We can push $1 million to next year and hope that it comes back. Now, obviously, that can bite you. But I think it's one of those things where it's reasonable. And at the end of the day, right, $6 million is that Goldilocks contract amount where it's not nothing. But it's also not too much. Definitely very workable. This is the same level as Nick Boyle, for instance, as far as impact of average, you know, dollars over years. And I think Tucker is the great example of a player you want to give one of those middle contracts to.
Yeah. I love that Tucker. I mean, it's a Hall of Fame player that you're giving a medium contract too. So you start with that. But I love the attitude that he had, you know, coming to the microphone today. He said, you know, it really only took 5 minutes to come together. It sounded like there were multiple communications involving email and whatnot. So he's probably being somewhat hyperbolic with that. But still, it doesn't sound like it was acrimonious at all. It sounded like it's a very easy contract to get done. It wasn't a his people versus their people or him in a gymnasium, you know, with the three-man tribunal he's facing or anything like that. That's not the way the Ravens would handle contracts, but that's the kind of adversarial, you know, college movie kind of situation I think of sometimes contracts getting into.
Yeah, well, I think, honestly, it was prompted by the Steelers. So last week, the Steelers gave Chris Boswell a four-year extension, $20 million, make him been paid $5 million a year, which tied Tucker's level. And I think the Ravens, particularly with that interdivisional rivalry, were like, oh, we got to fix that for Mr. Tucker.
definitely a great salary relatively. Chris Boswell, the number three kicker all time in terms of accuracy at 88.4%, does not have Tucker's leg in terms of the accuracy beyond 50. But let's go to the stats. Some of those right now. Tucker, 91.1% all time. He's missed only four extra points in his career as well, which is right around 1% of his extra points he's missed. Harrison Butker is second at 90.1%, and then Chris Boswell third at 88.4%. There was a time when, if you defined the number of kicks they needed to have, that Tucker would have needed to miss nine field goals in order to drop out of the number one spot of career field goal percentage. I don't believe that's true anymore, by the way. And Harrison Butker is, if he missed about three, he'd be behind him. The longest average attempt in NFL history, the longest average make in NFL history, and the longest average miss in NFL history. So what that's telling you is, not afraid to make the long kicks, not afraid to take the long kicks. And the Ravens are not afraid to have him miss some long kicks, too. So, you know, when you see a lot of these kicks where we're missing 58 wide right or 62 short or whatever it might be, you know, other kickers aren't even taking these. They got the punt unit on in these situations for other teams. And he's just a very, very special guy in that regard. And in the 2000 season, the Ravens lost a game 9-6 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it was the second of three losses. I think it's the one that dropped them to 5-3. So they lost to the Redskins, they lost to the Steelers, then they lost to the Titans to fall to 5-4 on the season before they started their run and won out, including the Super Bowl. And in that 9-6 game, they had an opportunity from about somewhere between 49 and 51 yards for Stover to make an attempt to tie the game. And, you know, he told Billick that he was out of range on that kick. I can't ever imagine Tucker saying that. You know,
Tucker,
yeah, it was 66 or 67 yards, or maybe it was even 69 yards, but whatever it was in the fourth and five game where Lamar came out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, however long that was, you know, Tucker's running over and saying, you want me in there, coach? And he goes, well, you think you can make it? And he goes, no, but I think I got a better chance than Willie, you know, because Willie Snead was going to go in at quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love the attitude.
Yeah. He's not afraid of being the guy in those heroic moments. And he's done it so many times for this team, like you said, and started from his rookie year. I mean, just an incredible legacy he's had so far. And I think he has a lot more to offer to the Ravens in these next few years. So definitely I'm thrilled that he's getting this extension. And I think you're saying it, he's a weapon, you know, like it changes the way you approach downs and distance, right, on the offensive side. So paying him like that is appropriate. I mean, there's not really any other kicker like him from an accuracy, like killer instinct and distance perspective.
Yeah, the guy coming into the league this year who PFF already thinks is going to be great, and they may be right, is Cade York. So he already made an 82-yard field goal in practice. At least that's the word. Now, supposedly Tucker said in Denver he thought he could make an 83-yard field goal. But we'll see. But PFF already thinks he'll be the best kicker this year. That won't necessarily translate to accuracy, but Tucker definitely has competition in terms of distance at this point.
Right.
Five-time All-Pro on the first team, second time on the second team. A lot of the Pro Bowls and whatnot, because Tucker hasn't been to an exorbitant amount of Pro Bowls, meaning he hasn't gone every year that he deserved it, which is every year. It's been players like Vinatieri who were on the last year. Sometimes it's a one-year wonder kicker that's in there. But, you know, if you look at career value or peak value, Justin Tucker is pretty damn good. And here is my favorite Justin Tucker consistency stat. He has scored 128 or more points in all 10 of his NFL seasons. In the history of the National Football League, there have only been 169 such seasons recorded by kickers.
Wow.
He's had more than 1/17 of all of the instances of a 128-point season, and he's done it every single year.
That is an awesome stat. I've never heard that one before. Incredible.
Yeah. At one point, if you excluded the blocks, he'd made over 100 consecutive field goals from 57 or fewer yards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that was amazing. It's just time after time, you're amazed at what kind of a statistical profile he can show. I hope the conditions are as good with Jordan Stout. I hope he's happy working with him. It will be a change of life for him from
yeah,
you know, his best friend and the Hall of Fame holder.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the other thing that's just wild going into this extension is that it's almost a new year or new career for him, right? Without his holder. So we'll see how this next leg is, but the Ravens definitely have confidence in him.
You know, he had a career scare, if you want to call it, last year, getting a new long snapper. Nick Moore had, you know, spent a year on the Ravens practice squad during the COVID year, but 2021 he took over for Cox and did, you know, Stover certainly didn't miss a beat. You know, he had the longest field goal of his career. I saw Stover. Tucker certainly didn't miss a beat. And Cook didn't miss a beat getting the ball down, which is probably the more important thing because his relationship with the long snapper is very significant as well. You know, is the ball getting placed properly for him to put it in the right position. But it's a great culture they have, and I hope that the right coaching has been done to bring in Cook and get him acclimated to the Ravens way and all of the technological things they've applied to Stout's apprenticeship, we'll call it, as a holder.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, this is it's a big year. Big year, and really the last 2 years, like you said, with the change of long snapper and now the change of holder. This is, I mean, maybe, hopefully, the last change that Tucker will have to go through. I mean, these guys might have a lot of run on them as far as being a part of the team. So, yeah, this might be the next. They're not calling themselves the Wolfpack anymore, but the next pact they have.
The next pack. That would be a different animal, huh? Did the expectation show this offseason about Justin? That wasn't with you, right?
No, it was not.
Okay. So did the expectation show this offseason? And my hope was, I thought it would be a good year for Jordan Stout if Tucker gets off the same number of kicks. So that means Stout's not dropping the ball, Stout's getting the ball into position to be kicked, even if it's not an ideal situation, but he gets off the same number of kicks that he has in the previous years, then that's a good thing. And I might even say same number of kicks without getting blocked. If you get the same percentage off, that's great. The optimal situation, a great season for Jordan Stout, is Tucker does not see any degradation in his field goal percentage from the change. That would be just an unbelievable, way beyond the bounds. And honestly, he could hardly blow it as a punter to any degree. I mean, I can't imagine circumstances where he'd be a punter that would not be of value to the Ravens if he leaves the Ravens unaffected from Cook's previous holding situation.
Yeah, I think that's really well put. And I mean, obviously big shoes for Stout, the rookie, but that's kind of the situation he finds himself in at what he's being asked to replace.
All right. Outstanding stuff here. Very happy to have Justin Tucker back in the fold and always a pleasure to talk football with you, Alec. Tell folks where they can find your work.
Sure thing. Thanks, Ken. You can find us One Winning Pod. We're recording this off season, I guess. Well, not really off season anymore. Just we're going to be recording our recaps of the preseason games and then get into our regular schedule of recapping the previous game and also talking about the next game and bringing on a guest to usually talk about the other team and give us some insights. So definitely enjoy doing the show each week and always enjoy joining you, Ken.
Yep, always a pleasure. And other folks out there, if you'd like to do a film study short with me, hit me up with a DM on Twitter. They're always open. Love to hear from you. I'll get back to you very quickly about it. And Alec, thanks again for coming on.
Of course. Thanks, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.